Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and as I said, welcome. Thanks for being with me. And of course, Sunday Praise is where we lift up our Lord and Savior and point you towards the truth, the real truth, the truth from God Himself. In Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Yes, it is, my friend. It's His and all it contains. That's why we got to know the truth, the real truth. And as we go through today's program, we're going to point you in that direction, dear friends. As I said, Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. That's all of us, my friends, all of us. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Ah, good question, isn't it? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the verse 6, this is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O Ancient of Doors, that the King of glory may come in. And I look back at verse 3, and it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And then I go into the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me, as Jesus says. In verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. I look over at verse 18. Still in John chapter 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see Me, but you will see Me, because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. In that day you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments keeps them. This is the one who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose Myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. We will come and make our home in him. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ and His willingness to come to us and make His home in us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As we read in Psalm 24, who has clean hands may come into the hill of the Lord. None of us have clean hands, but we can have clean hands through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your willingness to come and live in such flawed creatures as us. Father, we just thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, Father, guide us, lead us on the program. And also, Father, those that are listening, would they see Jesus clearly. And we thank You in His name. I look at verse 23 again, and it says, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, or abode. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And we can't lose sight of who's in us and who's leading and guiding us in this world. It's Jesus Christ. And I think of the first song we're going to play for you today, dear friends, is the Booth Brothers, and Don't Let Me Lose Sight. And we need to keep in touch with Jesus Christ and not lose sight of who He is.
My mind again, just how my life would be had the Father's mercy not included me. I saw myself still drifting on a raging sea, farther out from nowhere, hurting endlessly and turning back this page of time. It all comes into view. I realize I'm nothing without you. Don't let me lose sight of who you are. Lord, help me remember my life before you came. May I never sacrifice and your pain. Don't let me lose sight of who you are. My mind can't comprehend the sacrifice you made to redeem this hurting soul. An awesome price was paid. Lord, you endured the suffering and took all my shame, faced the bitter agony mocked your name. And when I look back to the cross, I clearly see the truth. I know my life is worthless without and your pain. Don't let me lose sight of who you are. Oh, with you my life will never be the same. Don't let me lose sight of who
beautiful song and beautiful words by the Booth Brothers. Lord, don't let me lose sight of who you are. Without you, I'm nothing. Don't let me lose sight. I read in John chapter 15, I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. As the song said, taken from Scripture, of course, without you, I can do nothing. Don't let me lose sight. And verse 20 of the previous chapter, chapter 14 in John, very important. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful we have the Scriptures so we can be, we don't have to lose sight, do we? We're blessed in this country. In some countries, if you're found with the Scriptures, you lose your life immediately. So we are blessed here. And dear friends, take advantage of it. Study those words, those godly, truthful words that are in the Scriptures. Don't lose sight. That'll keep you close to him, and we won't lose sight. The Creator gave Adam and Eve two commands. First, to fill the earth and rule over it. And second, not to eat from a certain tree. And I'll read those two verses. God blessed them in Genesis, the first book in the Bible, first chapter, verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then he also told them in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 17, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat, you will surely die." And they chose to disobey in their relationship with God. Their relationship was broken with God because they chose to disobey. They had to leave Eden. Not only did the first couple's rebellion impact their lives, this is the part that hurts. It had far broader implications. All future generations would suffer. That's all of us, from Adam and Eve. The Apostle Paul explains, through the trespass of one man, Adam's sin, sin came into the world. And friends, we find that in Romans chapter 5, verses 12. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world." Doesn't seem fair, does it? But it's God's world, so we can't argue, can we? And he did make a way out. And therefore, reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin." Yeah, we're without excuse, aren't we? We've all sinned. We can't stand in front of him and say, "No, I've never sinned." No, no, we've all sinned. Some more than others, but we've all sinned. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who has to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many." Aren't you thrilled about that? "It abounded to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand the judgment arose and the one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand the free gift arose and many transgressions resulted in justification. For by that transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, that beautiful grace of the gift of righteousness will reign through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation." Yeah, sin. "And it was transferred to all men. Through the one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men." And of course, that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "For through the one man's disobedience, Adam," I hope you're following, "the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Yes, through him, we have hope. And the Apostle Paul explained that in Romans. "Through the trespass of one," putting it simply, "through the trespass of one, Adam, namely, sin made an entrance into the world. And death resulted for all mankind. Because Adam, he was really the head of the human race. His disobedience affected everyone born after him. And every person starts out with a bent away from the Lord and a desire for self-rule. But by contrast, as Charles Stanley says, by contrast, Jesus Christ made conformity to the Lord's will the priority of his life. He obeyed God in both word and deed. And we're thankful that he did obey. I read in John chapter 8, verse 28, "So Jesus said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, when you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, I speak these things as the Father taught me.'" And verse 29 tells us as well, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." having lived a perfect life, that's our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, one entirely without sin, he qualified to be our Savior. Our Savior, my friends. The perfect life. How many of us can say we've lived a perfect life? No, that's why we need a Savior. He made him, that's Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But through the death of one man, Christ Jesus, payment was made for the transgressions of who? All of mankind. And God's acceptance of the Son's sacrifice brought us forgiveness and freedom from sin's power. Adam's disobedience, on the other hand, brought judgment and death. Whereas Jesus, his obedience, resulted in a new life for all who believe in him. And all, that's all, my friends, who believe in him. I look in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it tells us, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, that's you, my dear friends, accept that. We too might walk in the newness of life. Our Savior calls us to deny selfish desires, live sacrificially, and follow him. A believer's godly life will bring honor to Jesus and point others towards him. In Matthew 16:24, it says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And dear friends, maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe it's time to consider coming back to Jesus.
I have a return to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home, and the God I outgrew. But now I have returned to the God of my childhood. He is Bethlehem's baby, the prophet's Messiah, but he's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have returned to the God of my father, with unfeeling feet. I'm the child of his heart. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, singing praises to his name. That child has come home. I have returned mother, my dear mother. I learned at her knee that he is a lily of the valley, but he Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned. I have a return to the Yahweh of Judah. On my knees I did fall, where walls once stood. The lesson I've learned as I work my way homeward, the Creator of all, is a comfort to man. I have returned to the God of my father.
creator of heaven and earth,
God
of the universe, but he, Jesus, to me, eternal deity, praise his name, I have returned. Shepherd of Moses, who call him the great I am, but he's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name, I have returned.
What a beautiful booming voice. Charles Hagebrooks, and I Have Returned. Beautiful song written by Mary John Wilkins. When she did return to the God of her childhood, she wrote that song, as many, many, many more songs she did write as well. I love those words in there, I have returned, and the lessons I've learned. Yes, there's a lot of lessons. When you walk away from God, if you're his, he wants you back, and he'll go to any extreme, any lengths to get you back. So lessons hard learned, learned hard, if you will. E.M. Bounds, who's a great preacher from many years ago, says, the briefest of the words of Jesus is but one of the most comforting. They contain the essence and the epitome of saving faith. Now, is Satan assailing you or attacking you with tormenting fears? Is the thought of your sins, your guilty past, surfacing in terrible in a memorial before you? It is almost tempting you to give way to hopeless despondency. Fear not, my friend. A gentle voice whispers in your ear, only believe, only believe. Your sins may be great, but my grace, as Jesus says, is greater. Only believe that I died for you and that I'm living for you. And I'm pleading for you. He's making intercession right now at the right hand of the Father. Are you a backslider? Did you once run well? Has your own guilty apostasy alienated and estranged you from that face which was once all love? Only believe. Those two words. Only believe. The word of him whose ways are not as man's ways. Return, my friend, return. O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Are you beaten down with some heavy trial? Have your fondest schemes been blown away? Your fairest blossoms, have they withered in the bud? Has wave after wave been rolling upon you like big crashing waves? Has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Listen again. Hear the words of Jesus saying, believe, only believe. There's definitely a reason for the trial, a lurking thorn that requires removal, a gracious lesson that requires teaching. Are you fearful? Are you agitated? What about in the prospect of death? Are you fearful of the last enemy, death? Have you been all your lifetime subject to bondage? Well, if you have been, my friend, only believe. Remember, as your days, so shall be your strength. Good short article and excerpt from one of E.M. Bounds' books. Believe, believe. It's so important, isn't it? Otherwise, will Satan assail you? Will he bring up your past? Try to drive you crazy? Try to get you to be discouraged? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. some very important words. Some very, very important words. Only believe. Only believe. And then whatever he's assailing you about, my friend, you can ask him to leave even. Lamentations chapter 3 says, verse 25 and 26, says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. And then I look at verse 31, for the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, maybe he's caused some grief in your life, then he will have compassion. Maybe we needed that grief. According to his abundant loving kindness, for he does not afflict willingly. He doesn't, my dear friends. He afflicts when we need it, and we do need it occasionally. Why should, I'm still in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39 says, why should any living mortal, that's any living mortal, or any man or woman, offer complaint in view of his or her sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return, as Charles Hagebrook sung there, I have returned. Let us return to the Lord. We will lift up our hearts and our hands towards the God in heaven. We have transgressed, yes, so we have to return. Return to him. And my friends, God is always ready to grant you a blessing when you turn wholeheartedly to him. He cannot pour out his spirit upon a disobedient and antagonistic people, but he responds at once to those who humble themselves, return to him. We have to put away all known sin and seek to yield implicit obedience to his word. These were the characteristic features of the Great Awakening in the days of Hezekiah. Oh, do read them. Go into Chronicles and do read them about Hezekiah. It's so wonderful to read how he brought the whole land back. His father was a man that followed, he was a heathen man that followed satanic idols. And his son after him. But you've got this rose in the center, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah went out and sought the Lord. It has been well said that we may have revival in any place at any time when we're willing to pay the price. We have to get right with God. There will always be blessing when the people of God return. Yes, when we return to obedience to the written word, the word of God. And as Harry Ironside said, it's appalling how far the professing church has drifted in many instances from the Lord God, who has revealed his holy will in the Bible. We need to come back to the first principles. Instead of sitting in judgment on the scriptures, give the word of God the place of absolutely authority in all things, first place, and then we may be assured of divine approval. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, when Hezekiah reached out to the people of the land, he said, do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who led them into captivity, so they may come back. You might be in captivity right now, and you might be bound by Satan, but come back to the Lord. So the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will turn his face towards you if you return to him. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8 and 9. We have to return. We have to come back to him. And dear friends, he's always there. He's always there waiting for the wayward, the wandering man or woman that wandered away from him and then come back and realized how important it is to know him and to be with him and let him lead your life. Staying in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55 says, I called on your name, O Lord, out of the lowest pit. Maybe that's where you are, friend, in the lowest pit. You've heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my prayer for relief, from my cry for help. You draw near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. O Lord, you have pleaded my soul's cause and have redeemed my life. Yes, he will, dear friends. He will redeem your life. Dear friends, you're listening to, my name is Bill Craig, and you're listening to Sunday Praise. And as I said, thanks for being with me, and as we walk through Sunday Praise today, we're lifting up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also, dear friends, my heart is with you and wanting to lift you, that's right, you up as well, because Jesus Christ died for you, my friend. Yes, he did. And Danny Gaither's going to tell us all about it in song next on Sunday Praise.
Jesus said he'd come to share all my sorrows. He said he'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending him. He came here to stay. I just had to pray. Then Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried, and I'm here. That for those tears I died. Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried, and I'm here to that for those tears I'd die. Yes, I'm here to remind you that for those tears I'd die.
Danny Gaither in his beautiful voice reminding us. He's here to remind you, as he said in the song, or sung in the song, for those tears I died. Maybe you poured out rivers of tears coming down your cheeks at night in your bed in the middle of the night. Dear friend, he sees that. He sees you. He knows. He knows those tears. He knows the number of tears you wept when you were lonely and crying out to him. He sees the tears. He knows your tears. 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 Interesting. Some of us go to tears quicker than others. Tears are they have a healing agent, a healing balm inside them. And I read a short story. Henry Morehouse, was a great preacher many years ago. He grew up with quite a number of brothers and sisters. Henry decided to go down a different road. They were a Christian family, and he decided to go down a different road. He became a heavy drinker and a gambler. And this is back in the 1870s in England. His brothers and sisters all decided, they all took a vote. And every one of them said, "Dad," I think his mom was passed away at the time, "throw him out. Throw him out on the street. He's no good. He's no good. Throw him out." But Dad said, "No. You're my son." "I can't throw you out." "I can't." That changed Harry's life. He knew he had somebody human on his side, his own father, which is marvelous when your father stands up for you. And his dad didn't throw him out. But Harry became, or Henry, it's interchangeable, he became a great preacher. Preached with D.L. Moody, preached at D.L. Moody's church, preached with him in England. He preached all his sermons on one verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, all his sermons were on that, pretty well on that one verse. And of course they went many places in the Bible, but they started out on that one verse. And Henry says, "If we go away, the Lord will bring us back. By one means or another, he always will. He brings us back, so we have to return to him. He sees your tears. He wants you back." Henry says, "Shortly after I was converted, I used to go and speak for the Lord at a place in Lancashire in England. There I got acquainted with a Christian man and his wife. He and I became good friends, and he seemed a dear Christian friend to me. Soon after, I went away to Ireland for a short time, and when I was returning again, he didn't text him." That was back in 1870. "I wrote to him and to say I was coming. So I expected to see, we were quite close, we were good friends. I expected to see him at the station. When I arrived, he was not there. So I went and I called upon him. I was sure he would be glad to see me, but when a person gets away from Christ, gets away from the Lord, he never likes to see a Christian. We don't even have to say a word, but we remind him of what they're walking away from. Of course, he shook hands with me, but it was in such a cold way, very cold. I knew something was wrong. I found out what it was. He had gotten rich. He had gotten money. He had gotten the manna of this world. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is not a sin to be rich. If God makes you rich, or if you use your riches for his glory, that's a wonderful thing. The sin is when your heart is set on riches. You can't serve riches and God as well. You have to make a decision for one. My friend, Henry says, had bought a lot of land and had got rich without working. Of course, he could go to worship with the poor fishermen then, but he decided no. He became a backslider, stayed at home, and cared for nothing but making money. "Money, money, money," he said, and as if there was nothing good in the world but money. And Henry found out that his wife had gone back with him and to nothingness, and his daughter also had gone with the father and mother. I wondered how it was with John, his other son, who was a friend of mine as well. So I went and I met the father's boat as it came into the harbor. I said to him, "Well, John, how is it with you?" "Thank God," he said, "thank God." He said, "It's all right with me, but there's my poor father, my poor mother. Oh yeah, they have the worldly goods and worldly money. And my poor sister." He said, John said, "I would lay down my life to see them brought back into the fold to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. I would lay down my life." On the Sunday night after this young man stood up in the meeting and gave his experience, he made use of these remarkable words again. He said, "I could lay down my life to see them brought back, my father, my mother, and my sister, to see them brought back again to the feet of Jesus Christ. They're backsliding, and they need to return to Christ." Next morning, John kissed his wife and little child, and with some other friends started out on board his father's boat, a fishing boat. They went out to sea. He was doing something when the boat gave a lurch. and he was thrown into the water, out into the ocean. And he was one of the best and strongest swimmers, but he had his heavy sailor's jacket on, and those were the days before life jackets, I guess. And before they had time to try and pick him up, to come around with the boat, they saw his uplifted hands lifting out of the water. They heard him cry out something about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he sank to rise no more, till the sea shall give up its dead. By and by, the old father said to one of his other little boys, Richard, "Run down to see if my boat is coming in and see what kind of a catch they got on the boat." The little fellow came back in about an hour. His face was pale, pale white. Tears were running down his cheeks. He said, "Oh, Father, Father." He sobbed. And Father said, "What's the matter, Richard? Have they lost their nets in the fog?" "Oh, no, Father," he said, "it's worse than that. They have lost our dear John, my brother. Our John is not in the boat. He has fallen overboard and he is drowned. He's lost. The poor old man. When he said earlier, money, 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 he didn't have any use for money. He just burst into tears. He called for his wife and he said, "Please, let's get down on our knees. God has taken John from us. And it's all our fault. We were heaping up money, and that money was supposed to be for him. God has taken our John, and the money is of no use. Let us ask God to pardon us." So they got down on their knees, and they prayed out loud to God and asked for forgiveness. And Henry said, "I saw that man afterwards preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, what a cost. What a cost. What a cost. God will do anything, my friends, to bring you back. To bring you back to him. So the best part is don't drift away. Sometimes we look to money and things of this world, and they're really nothing but castles in the sand, and castles get washed away. When the tide comes in, they get washed away, my friend.
So grand, we'll surely melt away.
Some beautiful words there by the Booth Brothers, and castles in the sand, they'll wash away. But we have to be grounded and stand firm on the rock with Jesus Christ, because he is our rock. He is our salvation. And we don't want castles in the sand, because they do get washed away. In Revelation 21:9, we read, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" Now this supper, the last meal of the day, after breakfast we go out and work, and after lunch we have to work again. But after supper, you're not expected to go to work again. It is rest. So after the marriage supper of the Lamb, there lies before us God's grand and eternal rest. The weary pilgrimage is past. The hard fight is over. The victory is won, and the rest has come. Truly they are blessed who shall sit down to that supper, the supper of the Lamb. And how thankful we should be that the Bible tells us of this supper. And I read in Revelation 21, verse 22, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the land. The nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime there'll be no night there, and its gates will never be closed, and they will bring in the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination, lying, shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And then I skip down to chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. There'll no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. Those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. That's the last place in the Bible that we read of the Lamb. He's on the throne, and his servants serve him, those that have placed their faith with Jesus Christ. Only believe. Well, their greatest delight is to see his face. We have seen where man has put the Lamb of God, and we have on the cross, and we have seen where God the Father has put him. As I said, man has put him on the cross, God put him on the throne. First there was suffering, then glory. And that's the rule for us, his people down here. First the cross, then the crown. But above all, there was for him but one way to that grand throne, and that way was the cross. Thus we see the Lamb of God suffering on the cross and then crowned in glory. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11. And dear friends, it's better to bend the knee now than be forced to bend the knee when we're being condemned if we've denied him. A little poem here. "Lamb of God, our souls adore thee. While upon thy face we gaze, there the Father's love and glory shine in all their brightest rays. Oh, what wondrous love and mercy thou didst lay thy glory by, and for us came from heaven as the Lamb of God to die. Lord, we learn with hearts adoring wondrous love in your shed blood. Glory, glory, everlasting, to be thee, the Lamb of God." And dear friends, as we're waiting on the Lamb of God to come back again, what should we be doing for Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us, who brought us from the wrong to the right? My friend, we should be shining a light for him alone.
Just the other day, she smiled and she said, "Well, I'm doing okay, but I felt a pain." I took her hand in mine, said, "It's gonna work out fine." But as she turned, I wondered, Did I just pander a line? What she needed most was a word of hope and a prayer or two. A little more time and a timely word could have pulled her through. So I think of her and I wonder too, is anybody hurting and sitting right next to you? Shine the light, share your faith, show the world that Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the way. Together we can make a difference. Be a beacon in the dark of night. Share your faith, hold it high, shine the light. Anywhere you go, any country road or city street, any lonely life, a hurting heart, somebody in need, they all ask one thing: where is love and truth? But if you know Jesus, then you know what to do. Shine the light, share your faith, show the world that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is the way. Together we can make a difference. Be a beacon in the dark of night. Share your faith, hold it high, shine the light. Let your light so shine, so everybody will see Jesus. Let your light so shine to glorify your Father.
Powerful song with a lady with a beautiful voice. Shine the light. Shine the light. Starts off, it's a story song. She's in the parking lot. She talked to a person. She said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing fine, but I felt her pain. She said, it's going to work out fine. But as she turned, I wondered, did I just hand her a line? What she needed most was a word of hope, a prayer, a little more time, and a timely word could have pulled her through. So I think of her, I wonder, too, if anybody's hurting, sitting right next to you. Shine the light, your friend, shine the light, show your faith, show the world that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Together we can make a difference. Yet we have to be a beacon in a dark world. You know it's a dark world, and a dark night. We're in a dark night right now. Share your faith. Tell them about your salvation. Tell them about how Jesus has made a difference in your life, my friend. Anywhere you go, any country or city, streets, there's lonely people everywhere, hurting people, many people in need. Just ask. Ask them if they need a helping hand, a truthful word, a little bit of love. And if you know Jesus, my friend, if you know Jesus, you know what to do. Shine the light. Shine the light for him, my dear friends. Shine the light for Jesus Christ. And it'll make a difference in somebody's life. Dear friends, you're listening to Sunday Praise. And as you go through the week, dear friends, shine the light. it'll make a big difference. It'll make a big difference in somebody's life. Help them get through. We all need that light. We all need Jesus Christ. I love you, dear friends. God bless you. I hope you were lifted up today, and I hope Jesus Christ's light shone through to you, dear friends. My name is Bill Craig, and as you go through the week, some verses here I'll leave you with. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? We talked all about returning to Jesus Christ and how he'll take you back, my friends. And you can't lose sight, because he died for you. And for those tears, he died. He sees the tears. We talked about castles, and they just get washed away as soon as the tide comes in. But we want you most of all to shine the light and be a light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. And of course, that's where that song came from. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify who? Not you, not me. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. And dear friends, do shine the light. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll see you again next week.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. And all